We're in Tivot Shalom and Parshat Yitro. We're on page Kuf Samech Bet. The piece Lo Yeh Lacha Elohim Acherim Al Panai. Anochi Hashem Elokecha Asher Tziticha Me'eretz Mitzrayim Beit Avadim. The Aseret HaDibrot open up with God saying, I am Hashem your God who took you out of Egypt from the house of slavery. Lo Yeh Lacha Elohim Acherim Al Panai. Don't have any other gods. And the phrasing there is interesting. I assume that's what he's going to focus on. Don't have any other gods on my face. Lo ta'aseh lecha pesel v'chol tmuna. Don't make yourself an idol or any image. Yesh la'vin omro asher hotzidicha me'eretz Mitzrayim v'lo asher barati et ha'olam. So the first question is even going back to Anochi Hashem Elokecha. I am Hashem your God who... What's the greatest thing that God did? You see, you're giving a very firm answer. You're like, I read the Pasuk. Oh. But the Devot Shalom is asking, well, why not go back to the beginning? I'm God who created the world. I'm the most powerful being. I'm the source of all things. Not just the God who took you, a small nation, out of Egypt. Why not say, I am the God who created the entirety of the world? Kein zarich bior. Why is it that it says this double language of I am the God who took you out of Eretz Mitzrayim, out of the house of slavery? And it was clear when he took us out of Mitzrayim that it was the house of slavery, or he could have said one or the other. Why both? It's clear that Eretz Mitzrayim was a Beit Avadim. This Dibor, the first of the Aseret HaDibrot, is the foundation of Emuna. Mitzvat Emuna. Emunat Hashem, l'shitat Rambam, v'lama lo nichtav b'lashon tzivoy. This is the foundation of Emunah, and according to the Rambam, this statement of Anochi Hashem Elokecha asher tzidicha me'eretz Mitzrayim, according to the Rambam, that is the formal, creates the reality of the formal mitzvah of Emunah b'Hashem. And if so, l'ama lo nichtav b'lashon tzivoy, why isn't it stated as a command? L'hamin b'Hashem Elokecha. It's a statement. I am Hashem your God to get out of Mitzrayim. It doesn't sound like it's a mitzvah. It's not like a tzivoy. It doesn't sound like a command. Why is it phrased as a statement and not as belashon tzivoy? V'alomro lo yeh lecha Elohim acherim al panai, not to have any other gods. Hikshu Chazal ask in the Mechilta. Sharei ne'emar lahalan lo ta'aseh lecha pesel v'chol tmuna. Continue on, it says, don't make an idol or an image. U'lishimra ne'emar gam lo yeh Elohim acherim al panai. What is this, don't have any other gods on my face? What does it even mean in general? What is its goal? Especially when you have the rest of the pasuk, which clarifies not to make an image, not to make an idol. What is this alpanai piece? Based on the Yerushalmi, we can answer this question. Avadim pitrim mikriyat shema she'ne'emar. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Et she'ein lo adon, ela kadosh baruch hu, yatza ha'eved she'yesh lo adon acher. So it says Avadim are patzer, Avadim are exempt from saying Kriyat Shema. Because it says Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Hear, O Israel, Hashem is our God, Hashem is one. Et she'ein lo adon, meaning it's talking about a person who has no other adon, has no other master, so their master is God. Ela kadosh baruch hu. Yatza ha'eved, this takes out an eved, this exempts an eved, she'yesh lo adon acher, an eved, a servant has another master. Hainu shu avd oved lishnei adonim. A servant is subjugated to two masters, the slave master and the Kadosh Baruch Hu, and that exempts them from Kriyat Shema, which is only for a person who only has one master. Based on this, we can also understand Anochi Hashem Elokecha. Shekadosh Baruch Hu, who Elokecha? That a Kadosh Baruch Hu, that God is Elokecha, He is your God. Ha'adona miyuchad shelcha, your personal God. It's the way that it's phrased, it's personalized. It's connecting to us. Anochi Hashem Elokecha. I could say Anochi Hashem HaElokim. But he specifies HaKadosh Baruch Hu when the first thing he says to us as a nation is Anochi Hashem Elokecha. I am your God. V'lo yeh lecha Elohim acherim al panai. Don't have any other gods on my face. Haynu shezoha mitziut shel Yehudi shelo yeh oved bet Adonim mishubad liyotzro uliyotzro. And the saying, don't have any other Elohim Achirim al Panai, is this mitziyut that a Jew is not an Eved to two things. It's only focused on being an Eved, or the only Adon, the only master that we have is a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And this is what the Pasuk says, Asher hotziticha me'eretz Mitzrayim b'beit avadim, that I took you out of Eretz Mitzrayim from the house of slavery. That from this koach, that a Jew is not a servant to their physical desires. And that a person is able to release themselves entirely from being subjugated to anything in this world. They're totally able to lose any hold that their ta'avot, their physical desires have over them, that they're normally sunken and that their nature is drawing them toward. This all comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu giving it to us at Yitziat Mitzrayim. Asher hutziat amo Yisrael mitocham l'cherut olam. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out of that for eternal freedom. Shezeh HaKoach HaElyon shel Yitziat Mitzrayim. That this is the lofty level, the lofty power of Yitziat Mitzrayim. Shenatan HaKadosh Baruch Hu koach liyudi lihish tachrer mihashibud la'avadim shelo yeh eved la'avadim. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu freed us entirely from being subjugated to anything else, and we wouldn't be a servant to any servants. That was the part of the whole klipa of Mitzrayim, this divider between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu that Mitzrayim acted as, that it was a Beit Avadim. Shekol Nimsaim Sham Hayu Avadim La Avadim. That everybody there were servants of servants. Ve'otanu Hotzi Mikor Bazel, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out of this fiery furnace of Mitzrayim. Hu Korah Shibud, this furnace of Shibud, Shel Mitzrayim Beit Avadim. Ukilson HaPasuk, Ki Avdei, Ki Avadaihem, Asher Hotzeti Otam, and Eretz Yisrayim, Lo Yimachru, Mimkeret Aved. They are my servants, who I took out of Mitzrayim, and therefore don't sell them as a slave. That at Yitzias Mitzrayim we became the avadim, we became the servants of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we wouldn't be able to, we were no longer given over to be a servant to our ta'avot, to our desires. V'li b'nei Yisrael avadim. And to me, b'nei Yisrael are servants. Kedarshat Chazal. Avadaihem velo avadim laavadim. Again, that they are my servants and not servants of servants. Va'afilu et yudi nichshal v'chata ino b'vchinat eved laavadim. And even when a Jew makes a mistake and sins, he's not considered a servant of servants. Liot mishubad lezeh legamrei. V'gam kashir shakua v'tavotav. Even if a Jew is totally immersed in tavot, v'pnimuto hainu eved rak l'kadosh baruch hu. He's only a servant of l'kadosh baruch hu. K'mo dichtiv, k'mo di'ita. That it's clear in front of you that all we want to do is your Ratzon Hashem. The Yitzhar Har draws us in. We don't serve two masters. And this is such a deep inyan of what Yitzhak Mitzrayim is about. What he's saying here is that what happens when we get taken out of Mitzrayim is that we experience a reality of Chirut. That's why Zman Chirutenu is Pesach. And it's interesting, and many of the Mefarshim discuss this, the issues involved in this. What does it mean that it's Zman Chirutenu, that it's time of our freedom? We left one master and we sought it for another master. We were avadim to the Mitzrim and Mitzrayim. We were the servants of the Egyptians when we were in Mitzrayim. And then we come out and we sort of kind of have around 49 days. And then we come to Matan Torah, which is our Parsha. And then we have 613 mitzvot, which take a whole lifetime to learn and then do. And the whole inyan of Torah is that it should be able to permeate every aspect of our lives. From the moment we got from Mode Ani to the minute we go to sleep with Kriyat Shema Lamita, everything in between, to the way we tie our shoes, to the way we eat, to when we daven, to how we speak, to how we do commerce, to what we do with our free time, to how we spend that free time. Everything is all within the context of Torah and Mitzvot. One could maybe even make the claim that we're even more avadim now than when we were in Mitzrayim. We look at it as potential. We're framing it in the negative to turn it, spin it on its head. But even when we're a sleeper service to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and on the flip side, it's talked about the beauty of it. That if a person when they go to bed, it's in many Sfarim. In the beginning, I've seen it beautifully described in the beginning of the Chai Adam. He says that if a person goes and before they go to sleep at night, they think to themselves, "I am now going to sleep to replenish my koach, so that way I have the energy to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu the next morning." Then that transforms every moment of sleep into a mitzvah. Well, if you think that, if that's one's true kavana in going to sleep, that I want to give myself strength for the coming day to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it transforms. You're asleep. You're unconscious. It transforms that into a mitzvah. But on the flip side, that means we're literally able to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. There's no time we can't. There's every opportunity to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu every moment, and perhaps there's a chiyuv to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu every single moment. So we're slaves. So how do you deal with that? And the way that the Mefarshim discussed it is as such, is that no. A person who thinks that if they don't do Torah and Mitzvot, that they're not a slave is wrong. That all of Mitzrayim was all about physicality. All of Mitzrayim, it was Beit Avadim. in the sense that, not just in the Shibud of Mitzrayim itself, that by Mitzrayim being a reality that completely followed all of its tavot, all of its physical desires, it was a land of physical desire. The fallacy of the outside world is that if I don't have to do Torah and Mitzvot, I have the choice to do what I want. And the answer is no. When I have nothing compelling me to make a choice, I have no choice at all. And I am entirely and singularly driven by my physical desires. That's the only thing that's compelling me. And while I may think that I'm making the choices that I want to make, that's no way true. My stomach is determining what I eat. My eyes are determining who I talk to and interact with and how I interact with them. But my physical desires run my life. It's a little bit of a lo na'im example, but my Rebbe gives my Rebbe Rav Amos and gave the example of, he said he was sitting in a, I believe this is the story, it was a long time ago, that he was sitting in a in an army vehicle. On post, he was on watch, and they were at a certain checkpoint or whatever it was. I don't remember exactly the nature of the story. I think he was on, he told me he was coming up on reserves and that, maybe that was the context of the story. But anyway, he was sitting there with a Chiloni Israeli, and they were having a conversation about who was truly free. This is what they were talking about. And he said, in the middle of the conversation where he's talking to this guy, so he said a pretty woman walked by. And he said, he watched as the guy's head went all the way in 180 degrees, went around and watched. And he looked at him and he said, I want to ask you again, who is truly free? And it's a very powerful question. This Chiloni Jew who's not doing any mitzvot, is he really free? What HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us is that the only choice that we really have, and this is what Chazal tell us, Hakol bidei shamayim, chutz mi, yirat shamayim. That there's a fallacy that we have free choice at all. The only realm where free choice really exists, where bechira really exists, and therefore where chirut really exists, where freedom really exists, is my freedom to choose who I want to serve. And if I don't choose who I want to serve, the decision to make is a decision. And I'm deciding to let my physicality rule me. And what we were given the freedom at Yetzias Mitzrayim is now we're given the opportunity to choose who we serve. Do we serve ourselves? Do we serve our physicality? Or do we choose to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu? And you watch that interplay. The words don't appear in this week's parasha, but in the context of the two parts of Matan Torah, we're going to talk about in Chikoli next week, but these two aspects of Matan Torah that appear in Yitro and Mishpatim. When we come around, what do we have to do? What do we say? Naseh v'nishma. We make a choice. And that's the first real choice that a human being makes. We choose if we want to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we choose if we don't. But if we don't serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we are always serving another master. And that other measure that we're serving is our physicality. And so what he's emphasizing here is that that's the essence of what Yetzias Mitzrayim was about. Is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us freedom. And that's where it comes from. Asher otziticha me'eretz Mitzrayim mi'beit avadim. I took you out of Beit Avadim and I made you. You no longer have any other servant. You're no longer required to serve Mitzrayim, and you're no longer in a reality which demands that you serve physicality. Now it's finally up to you that you can have one master. You can choose if that one master is going to be a Kadosh Baruch Hu or not. And that's why it's Man Chayritenu. That's the beauty of Pesach. Is we choose to choose. We choose to embrace that which makes us uniquely human, which is freedom of choice. It's Bechira Chofshit. It's the only thing that distinguishes us from every other creation. Is that we have Bechira Chofshit. The freedom to choose who we want to serve. And that's what makes us free. Beginning of the next paragraph. V'koach zeh shel yitziat Mitzrayim hu davar nitzchi. And this concept of yitziat Mitzrayim is eternal. K'mo shomrim b'hagadah, as we say in the Haggadah on Pesach night. V'ilu lo hutziat HaKadosh Baruch Hu et avotenu Mitzrayim. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't take us out of Mitzrayim. Harei anu uvanenu uvnei vanenu b'shubadim hayinu lefarob Mitzrayim. Us and our children's children would still be slaves to Paro in Egypt. Shelulei yitziat Mitzrayim. Hayinu nisharim tamid avadim la'avadim. If not for yitziat Mitzrayim, we would still be slaves to slaves. Mishubadim leklipat Mitzrayim would be mishubad to the klipat Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim can come and go, but the essence of Mitzrayim would still be mishubad to Mitzrayim. We would still be mishubad to our physicality. We would still be caught in the finite limitations of the physical world and our physical selves. And that's what Mitzrayim means. Maze Mitzrayim, Milashon? Meitzarim. Mitzar is borders and boundaries that confine us. Mitzrayim was the borders and boundaries that confined and limited us into the boundaries of the physical world and didn't let us touch the infinite. And Yitziat Mitzrayim is a celebration of leaving behind the fiction of the world that claims that we're limited and allowing us to touch the infinite. Allowing us to choose the infinite, both in Torah Mitzvot and Olam Hazeh, and therefore paving the way to the infinite of Olam Haba. Paving the way to a relationship with the infinite creator. Every single generation of person is chayav to see themselves as if they left Mitzrayim. Not just our parents did HaKadosh Baruch Hu take out Mitzrayim. We've been taken out with them. Every single Jew has the koach to leave Mitzrayim behind, to leave their own Mitzrayim behind. And not be a servant of two masters. As the Pasuk says, God takes us out of Egypt. The God who takes us out of Egypt in present tense. That He's always taking us out. That the Yitzias Mitzrayim is something which is this powerful thing which is lofty and eternal. That He's always taking us out of Mitzrayim to give us the opportunity to not be Meshubah to our Ta'avot. To not live a life where the only thing that's driving us is our physical drive. This is the meaning of Dvar Hashem in the first of the Dibrot. I am Hashem, your God, who took you out of Eretz Mitzrayim. Because out of the strength of Yitzias Mitzrayim, that's what makes me Anochi Hashem Elokecha, says God. There's just me. Because you're no longer restricted by Mitzrayim. You're no longer restricted by your physical desires. You're no longer restricted by the physical world. You now have the option of only having one master and the only true master that's meaningful to serve. V'lo yeh lecha Elohim achrim al panai. Haynu she'al yedei zeh. She'ein zeh rak tzivoy. This is not just a command. Ela giloy ha-metziut she'zeh lo yeh lecha. Achar she'bitziat Mitzrayim natan HaKadosh Baruch Hu et hakoach liyudi shelo ya'od eved l'shnei adonim b'chinat eved l'ta'avot. Meaning he's saying that lo yeh lecha Elohim achrim al panai is not even saying don't let there be. Yes, the command to not make a pesel, not make a tmuna, that's don't make idols. He's saying lo yeh lecha Elohim achrim al panai means there's no longer any other God. There's no longer anything else covering up my face. This is what I've clarified in Yitzias Mitzrayim. It's a statement of fact. It's a reality for you now. I'm gazing at you, I'm looking at you face to face, and you will choose for the rest of history whether you want to gaze back at me or not. But that's the reality that you exist in now. Lo yelecha Elohim achrim al panai. With this we can understand the pasuk which says, Lo hibit aven biyakov lo ra'a amal biyisrael ki Hashem elokav imo. One of the klalot turned to brachot of Bil'am. He says, "Lo he beat Avin be Yaakov, that God doesn't see any iniquity in Yaakov. V'lorah amal be Yisrael, He doesn't see anything crooked in Yisrael. Hashem Elokav Imo, Hashem our God, Hashem their God is with them. Yehudi, afilu b'sha'ashu poel Avin, a Jew." A Jew, even when they do something wrong. Enosh eved l'shnei avadim v'rak sheya bebechinat anus. She'eino yodea lashit atzot benafsho litgaber al yitzro v'kulo malei ka'ev al kach v'gam az Hashem Elokav imo. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Adoneinu hayachid v'eino eved l'shnei adonim. He explains this more fully in other pieces. But he says the inherent question in the pasuk is as follows. When Bilam gives this bracha to Klal Yisrael, he says, Lo yibit aven b'Yaakov. God doesn't see any iniquity in Yaakov. It doesn't see anything not straight in Yisrael. Hashem Elokim, Hashem, their God is with them. So the fundamental question is, God doesn't see any iniquity in Yaakov. I see iniquity in Yaakov. Forget Yaakov. Forget Bnei Yisrael. I sin sometimes. What does it mean God doesn't see any sin in Klal Yisrael? And in the context when he usually quotes this pasuk, he quotes the Gemara which says that Chas v'shalom, that a person should ever say that God shows favoritism toward Bnei Yisrael. We live within a reality of din also. God doesn't play favorites. He doesn't let things slide. That's not how we work. That's not how Kadosh Baruch Hu works. Kadosh Baruch Hu is emet. So how could it be that how could the pasuk say that God doesn't see any negativity in Yaakov? It's a little shayach. Says, what does it mean? It means that he looks at us for who and what we truly are, and understands that there are times where our physical selves overtake us and force us on a level of anus, on a level of being compelled to do that which God doesn't want us to do, and deep down what we don't want to do. HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks at the part of us, each one of us has this, looks at the part of us that when we do an avira and we know we're doing an avira, and it happens sometimes, our Yitzhar gets the best of us sometimes. HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks at the part of us that's crying when that's happening. The Jew, the Yid inside, the Pintel Yid inside, the Nishama Lakut inside, the Chelek Alokam Imal inside that's crying when we're doing that avira. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is looking at. And when he looks at that, Lo Ra'am Abba Yaakov, there's no sin there. There's a person who made a mistake. There's a person who wasn't strong enough. There's a person who was overcome by the Yitzhar Hara. But that person isn't inherently a chote. That person is inherently a rasha. That person is somebody who just wants to do good. You see inherently the word chet. Maze chet? Lachti. Lachti means to miss a target. We did this before? You just know this. Yeah, it's a beautiful concept. Lachti means to miss the mark. That's what a chet is. The presumption is that every Jew, because we have the Neshama Lakut inside, the presumption is that every Jew wants to focus all of their kochot on Avodat Hashem. But there are times where the Yitzhar Hara slams into us and knocks the bow and arrow off course, and we end up missing the mark. But the intention of that potential energy was to do a mitzvah, was to do Avodat Hashem. And there are times where we miss the mark. 100%. But where is it coming from? Who are we really? And because of that, Hashem Elokavi Moak, Hashem, their God, is always with them. And that's what he looks at, despite the fact that there's chayt needs to be responded to. What God's relating to is the part of us that's really who we are. Again, the part of us that's crying inside when that's happening. V'cheyesh leva'er ba'ze'et, Mamar HaKatuv, top of the next column. Mamar HaKatuv, K'ma'asei Eretz Mitzrayim asher yeshavtem ba, lo ta'asu, K'ma'asei Eretz Kanaan asher ani mevi etcham shama lo ta'asu. The pasuk in Vayikra, the introduction to the Parshat Arayot, which this defines for us the fact just how immersed in physicality they were, that the whole list of Arayot are defined as the things with Mitzrayim, where you came from, and Canaan, where you're going to. Those are the two nations that are immersed in physicality. You had to overcome and be born on this contrasting background. You have to overcome it when you get to Eretz Yisrael. This is the introduction. K'maasei Eretz Mitzrayim, like the ways of Eretz Mitzrayim, asher yishavtem ba, don't do. U'k'maasei Eretz Kanaan, asher atni meviyat chamshama, and to Kanaan, where I'm bringing you to, lo ta'asu. The Perush, besvar makadoshim, de lo kai al inyanei isur, shem nit parshu lahalan, v'parshat arayot. So the svar makadoshim say, no, the obvious context is about arayot. I mean, the very obvious context is literally the introductory psukim. And on a pshat level, that's for sure what it's interesting. So I'm going to say, no, that's not necessarily talking about Arayot. It's going to list the Arayot next. So what is it talking about then if it's in the, right before the Arayot? Ki im al inyanei heter. That's a much higher level. The Arayot we'll get to in a second. That's Vaday Asr. But on a higher level, what's expected of a Jew who left Mitzrayim, a Jew who's going to be able to inherit Eretz Yisrael, says, say this for Magadoshim. Shagamotam lo yaase yehudi ba'ofen shamitzri oseotam. Wow. Even when you're engaged in heter, don't engage in heter like a mitzri. Don't engage in heter like a kana'ani. Even in heter. It means that if you have a non-Jewish friend, and you and that non-Jewish friend walk into a kosher food store, and you both order, there's an inherent presumption, but according to this pshat, in Torah, that you're not eating the food the same way that your friend is eating the food. And it's not a judgment on them. It's judgment on you, it's judgment on me, and what's expected of us as Jewish people. That everything that we do is in the context of Avodas Hashem. Because we're free. Because we're free to choose to make that Avodat Hashem. V'hainu sha'goy hu eved la'tavot u'mishubad lahem lagamer. That a goy is they're a servant to their tavot because they don't have any other master. There's no other requirement on them. And they're totally mishubad to their tavot. V'ilu yehudi einu mishubad la'tavot. But a Jew is not subjugated to their ta'avot. V'gam kishehu mitasek bahen, ko'ev libo al kach ve'eno oved l'shnei adonim. And even when they do make a mistake and a Jew does a chet, they feel that pain because they're not subjugated to their masters and they hate the fact they're not doing what their one true master wants them to do. Next paragraph. Well, the orzeh, based on this, ish la'avin et ha'pasuk she'ne'emru kol de matan Torah. We can understand the psukim that come before matan Torah. It says in the Torah, B'chodesh ha-shlishi latzit b'nei Yisrael me'eretz Mitzrayim b'yom hazeh ba'u mi'bar Sinai. In the third month from when B'nai Yisrael left Mitzrayim, on this day they came to Midbar Sinai. Vayisumi refidim vayavo Midbar Sinai vayachanu b'midbar vayichansham Yisrael neged ahar. And they went from refidim and they came to Midbar Sinai and they rested, they took camp in the Midbar and they took camp next to the mountain. Shirabu ha'arot pesukim alilu. There are many different things to say about these pesukim. First of all, Rashit. B'seder ha'pesukim she'ikdim et ha'milchar. The fact that in the pesukim that it puts what's second first. She'tchila kotev b'yom hazeh. Ba'u midbar Sinai. First it says, on this day they came to midbar Sinai. Then it says, v'yisum refidim. Well, how did they get to Har Sinai? By leaving refidim. So why not say they left refidim and they came to Har Sinai? Why say they, on this day they came to Har Sinai. And they left refidim and they came to Har Sinai. Why say it like that? First they left, then they came. We also have to understand. Why say twice that they came to Midbar Sinai? It says that they came to Midbar Sinai twice in these two pesukim. Why? This is hinting to the ways of Avodas Hashem. That were given to over to Yisrael before Kabbalat Torah. It's giving you the Sur Meirah and the Asi Tov. Keeping away from the negative and moving toward the good. Meaning, Hainu. Shekodem Yesh Lahakdim Akirat Ra. The first thing to do is to remove the Ra. And then afterward, Yachol Liyot Asi Tov. Then a person, by creating that space, now can fill it with Tov. To the extent that a person is still immersed in Ra, Hareza Bechlal Rasha Amar Elokim Malacha Lisaper Chuki. Rasha Amar Elokim, to the Rasha God said, Malacha Lisaper Chuki, why am I telling you my Chukim? It's not going to do anything for you because you're a Rasha. As long as you're a Rasha, telling you my laws, my ordinances, it doesn't have any impact. Achinita Besfar Makadoshim. The Sfar Magadoshim say that there's a type of person who can be in a really, really low place. I was surprised he was going in that direction, so this makes more sense. This is very much in line with the Nitzvot Shalom. He's a very big advocate of this understanding of Sumer Avasitov. He says as follows, that's one take on Sumer Avasitov. What did he say? Another way to look at it is that you have a Jew who's so downtrodden, who's so sunken into Ra at that point in their lives, that if that Jew chooses v'miatchila asok b'sormei ra, if they start with sormei ra, if they first try to just dig themselves out of the muck, yipol legamrei biyush. They keep trying to fight the quicksand. You could give up. You're just gonna mazayush banglit. Despair. Totally, thank you. You're totally despair. You can see the second day in a row. You just give shirim. I don't know what I'm doing here. Right? Totally, just lose. Totally, be in despair. The avro haderech sormei ra l'deyasitov, and for that person, it's not sormei ra and then asitov. It's Sor Meira Al Yidei Asitov. Yeah, you're in a bad place. Just go start doing good. Just jump to the Beit Midrash and start learning Torah. Just go doing mitzvot. Just go do tefillah. Just go daven. Sor Meira Al Yidei Asitov. For that person, that's the only way to get out. Don't worry now. Don't worry about cleaning yourself off now. Yes, there's mud and there's muck and there's dirt all over you. I don't care, says the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Walk into my Beit Knesset. Walk into my Beit HaMikdash. Walk into my Mishkan. Walk into my Beit Medrash. And just start learning. And just start doing mitzvot. And you'll worry about cleaning yourself off later. Because if you start trying to scrub yourself off now, by the time you get halfway through, you're going to be exhausted and tired and upset and in despair. That there's no hope. So don't start there. Sor Meira Al Yisrael, by the time you start doing mitzvot, and you start doing Torah, and you start moving, and moving, and moving, and running, and suddenly you're running in Avodas Hashem. And as you start to warm, what happens? All the dirt starts to, right? The mud starts to dry, and then chip, and then fall away. Sor Meira Al Yidei Asei Tov. Just go. Just go do Tov. She'atchil bi'asei Tov. Leharbot b'torah v'tfilah. To increase Torah, to increase tefillah. To increase mitzvot. Umemela yavo liyot sormira. And automatically then, of course, you're going to be sormira. Achin kidei shelo yeh bechlal v'lo rasha amar elokim v'gomer hine taloi bazek mevo'ar la'ayl. Kinyan zeh v'shel rasha amar elokim malacha l'saper chuki ne'mar api mishu mishubar l'tavota ve'ino shalit al atzmo v'hu eved l'avadim. Adam kazeh eno Hitchabrut imakdusha velo shayach she'atkil be'asitov. Meaning a Russia gamur who is literally giving themselves over to their ta'avot. So that's not going to help them. There's no tov to start with. You have to do the Shomira on all your days. Shomira first, to get rid of the Ra first. Because there's no tov to do. But for everybody else, and nobody here is a Russia. Nobody here is a Russia. Whether you're sitting in this room and you decided to take time out of your day. I mean, like, there was a Havim in the first place. I'm looking at the six of you, and there's no Russia in this room for sure. And anybody who's sitting and listening online, there's no Russia for sure. 100%. But the point is, you're already sitting here. So even if you do something wrong, if you feel down in the dumps, get up and move. And that will bring you back to the Tov. Ach mi shekvar yishtachvero mi liot eved l'ra, but a person who has already given themselves over to be an eved to the Ra, a servant of Ra, yachol la'atchil ba'asi tov. Sorry, hishtachver. Ki ach mi shekvar yishtachvero mi liot eved l'ra, a person who's already been freed from being a servant of Ra, they can start with asi tov, limrot she'adayin lo akar et ha'ra, even though they haven't removed the Ra. And that's what's being hinted to in these psukim. Shadavari shown lifnei kabbalat Torah. The first thing he said before kabbalat Torah, he ayah b'chodesh hashlishi letzit bnei Yisrael be'eretz Mitzrayim. On the third month when they left Eretz Mitzrayim, reshit kol nishtachru v'nigalu mihilot avadim leMitzrayim. The first thing is top of the next page kusamach dalid. That the first thing is that they needed to be mishtachver, to be freed and redeemed from being avadim in Mitzrayim. Shezeh haya hakoach shel yitzias Mitzrayim. This was the koach of yitzias Mitzrayim. V'im ki omnam lo yatzu adayin legami meharash ayu mishukim memtet sharei tumah. Ach kivan sheyatzanu miliyot avadim leMitzrayim biyom hazeh ba'u midbar Sinai. V'ayu yichlim leitchil ba'avoda shel asei tov hamisaleket et ara. Meaning, once they just experienced yitzias Mitzrayim and they were no longer b'shubad tara, we're already running at doing the tov. That's the start. Once we've been freed of the Ra, yes, we still have some of that muck on us, that's fine, but just start doing the Tov. V'acharkach, and then the next pasuk says, V'yisumi refidim, they left refidim. Hainu mir fayon yadayim, the way that Chazal explained it, they left from being lax in their ways. Alzem amra Chazal alakatu, V'yavon malik, that Amalek came, V'yalachim yisal berfidim, they come and fought them refidim, where they were refayon yadayim, where they were lax in their connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in their service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Refayon yadayim. Humakor klipa, that's the source of the klipa. Shadam mishuka barav humitrape milishtacher velatzeit mize. Mitrape. That's from Fayon Mistama. That a person who's immersed in Ra and is no longer and just washes their hands off of being able to get out of that. Vizev ayisumi refidim, that they left refidim, shiatsume hara, meaning the second pasuk emphasizes kilu the pshat of the pasuk of Shonar Asitov, which is first to leave refidim behind. Shiatsume hara bichinat somera veacharkach vayevo in Bar Sinai. Then you come to Bar Sinai, higiu lishleimut hamadrega shel Asitov, then you come to the fullest of Asitov, because you've removed the Ra first and then come to the Asitov. Shelacharak yirat hara, that after removing the Ra, vihigiu letachlit shleimut avodat Hashem. And again, that's the ideal, is to remove the Ra and then go to the Tov. But if a person's in a place where that's going to bring them down, then you run to the Tov first. That's what it says. It's something which I love to quote, a beautiful idea that he brings down in a few other pieces, that in Maariv, I've quoted this a few times from the Netivot Shalom, unbelievable line. It says in Maariv, in the last bracha in Maariv in Eretz Yisrael, in Chazars we have all the extra pesukim at the end. It says, V'haser Satan milefaneinu u'me'acharinu. We dive into a Kadosh Baruch Hu, remove the Satan from before us and from behind us. What's the difference? Why are we worried about the Satan that's behind us? I understand. The Satan in front of us, I understand. The Satan that's in front of me, that's standing in my way, that's blocking me from doing Avodat Hashem. Hasir Satan milifaneinu. Move him out of the way so I can run and do Avodat Hashem. But the Satan that's me'acharinu, what do I care about the Satan that's behind me for? He has no impact on me whatsoever. Warns the Netivot Shalom that that's the most dangerous Satan that there is. Because the Satan in front of you is constantly trying to take a shot at you. And when that Satan finally gets in that one good shot, and knocks you flat on your back, that's not the most dangerous thing. It's the Satan that then lumberingly walks behind you and puts his foot on top of you to hold you down. That's the most dangerous Satan. And the Tivot Shalom there says that when you're in that moment, when all of us have these moments, when we're in those moments where we make mistakes and we feel like we just got knocked down and we feel like we can't get up,
He says the first thing that you do is you get up and you run. That's what you do.
Sure. And he says the same lesson that we've been using, and that's where I was borrowing it from. It's the image that came to mind immediately, right?
He says you'll clean yourself off later. You might have some bumps and bruises and scrapes and dirt, fine. But right now, just get up and keep going, because if you stay there long enough that other satan comes up and puts his foot down on you, you're going to be down there for a long time.
It's a tremendous musar in life. I've used it in my own life. In my own life, moments where I've been down and said to myself, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, after what I did, doesn't want to look me in the face. Doesn't want to hear tefillah for me, doesn't want me to learn. In those moments, I've done it myself. Get up, and I've gone to the Beit Midrash, and I've gone to Davin. And I can tell you from personal experience, you don't feel anything. It's the worst feeling ever. You sit in that Beit Midrash where you were the previous time, and you're like, ah, I'm going to get back into it, and you're reading those words, and you're like, I'm feeling nothing, it doesn't feel like yesterday, this is terrible, I have no hope, and you have that feeling. And you go to Davin, and there's no connection with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. And it'll take 1 day, 2 days, 3 days later, it starts to come back. But if you stop davening and let that satan hold you down, if you're so mishukan the ra and you worry about the surmi ra and therefore never get to the asay tov, you're never going to get to the asay tov. When I talk to students, the students let themselves get dragged down. Something bad happened. They made a big mistake. Or to them it was a big mistake. It doesn't matter how big or small it is. Relative to them, they felt it was bad. They always come to me not 2 days later. They always come to me 2 months later. And then it's a conversation about how do I start from scratch. Don't let that happen. That's what he's saying. Just get up and keep going. Sor mira al yidei asitov. And keep running and running and running until you build up that energy that it'll allow you to clean off everything later. You'll bandage those bruises and you'll clean off those scrapes and you'll clean off that dirt later. Get up and keep going. And the feeling will come back. And then once you're back in a good place, once you've been lashuva l'Hashem, once you're sitting there with a Kadosh Baruch Hu, so you and a Kadosh Baruch Hu can work out the best way to heal. But get back to a Kadosh Baruch Hu first. V'ish lomar od, first column, bottom paragraph. We're almost done. V'ish lomar od al derech ita b'divrei Shmuel. It says in the Divrei Shmuel, "Ahad amru Chazal, anochi v'lo yelecha b'dibor achad ne'emru." That Chazal say that the first two dibrot, anochi Hashem Elokecha and lo yelohim achrim al panai, were given over in the same dibor. It was said over somehow miraculously. Kadosh Baruch Hu said both at the same time. D'nirmaz b'divreihem. Shehim Bahat Talya, the fact that the two are being said as one is because the two are interdependent with each other. Im Mekayim Lo Yelecha Elohim Achrim Al Panai, if one keeps not having any other gods, Shehu Tahor Mihara, that a person is pure from all Ra, Hareu Zochesh Sheyair Bo Anochi Hashem Elokecha, they're going to feel the light of Anochi Hashem Elokecha. V'al Derech Zeh Yishlomar Anochi Hashem Elokecha Asher Otzicha Me'eretz Yisrael, Be'otah Midah Shemekayim Asher Otzicha Me'eretz Yisrael. Ki hu meisig et hamadrigot shel anochi Hashem Elokecha. Meaning similarly, that a person lives anochi Hashem Elokecha to the extent that they live asher otiticha mi'aretz Mitzrayim, because it's all one dibur. If we leave Mitzrayim behind, we're living in a reality of anochi Hashem Elokecha. If we're living in a reality of anochi Hashem Elokecha, we've left Mitzrayim behind. That again, similarly, the two are interdependent. Last paragraph. V'al pi zeh. Mevo'er gam ma dehikshinu l'shitat haRambam. We can now explain that which we asked in terms of the Rambam. Madua lo ne'amar lashon tzivoy mitzvat emunat Hashem. That again, the Rambam understands Anochi Hashem Elokecha, the first of the Asarat Dibrot, to be the mitzvah of emunah b'Hashem, but it's not phrased as a command. It doesn't say ma'amin b'Hashem, la'amin b'Hashem. It's just Anochi Hashem Elokecha, same in effect. I am Hashem, your God. So how can that be the mitzvah, the tzivoy of emunah? That just like that God took us out of Mitzrayim, without getting into the nature of the terminology here, that God did it himself, he brought it about, it came entirely from HaKadosh Baruch Hu and didn't come from the zchut of Bnei Yisrael. He's saying that emunah is also something which comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That it entirely comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kemo dichtiv, ma'aminim b'nei ma'aminim, that were ones of emunah, who were the children of those of emunah. She'emunah mushreshet betoch tocho shel yudi. That a Jew is born with emunah packaged inside of them. With emunah part of who they are, it's part of the fiber of our being. That's only if you have no other gods. Meaning, as long as we keep ourselves
tahor, as long as we keep ourselves pure, then the emunah is inherent. When we do things that impurify us, it blocks us from connecting to the essence of our being. But that's what the tum'ah does. The tum'ah blocks us from our natural state of being. And if we purify ourselves, and lo yeh lecha al himachim apanai, then memela automatically a statement of fact, then we're going to live a reality of anochi Hashem elokecha, because that's who we are. That's who and what we are. V'im kein, kiyum mitzvat emunah, eino ki kiyum kol ha-mitzvot. The kiyum of the mitzvah of emunat Hashem is not like any other mitzvot. Shebechol ha-mitzvot alav la'asot l'kayem mitzvah, that on every other mitzvah we have to actively go and do that mitzvah. We have to actively do that mitzvah. V'ilu ha-emunah nitna b'ita'ut de'li'ila. But emunah is coming from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives it to us. We just have to make sure that we keep those channels open to receive it. That's what's upon us. Lo yelach al yimachim al panai. That's the part that you need to do in this. But the emuna comes from me, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'chol ha-mitzvah hi rak shelo yelach al yimachim al panai. The whole mitzvah itself is lo yelach al yimachim. That's the mitzvah. Don't block up those passages between myself and you. Don't block it. Don't block the system with tumah. The emuna will come in meila. That you keep moving farther and farther out of that tumah. Leave more and more of Mitzrayim behind. That's what's upon us. And everything else will come on its own. Asher ba'otah midah sh'yehudi mekayim lo yalecha Elohim ha'achrim apanai, kach zocheh la'anochi Hashem elokecha lebiyurut ha'emunah. The extent that a person makes sure to keep away from all of the things that block that system, to that extent a person will be pure and be able to receive memeila anochi Hashem elokecha. This piece is reminding us of this just critical fact, this critical concept of what it means to be free, of what it means to leave Mitzrayim behind, the fact that it wasn't something that happened, but as he quoted from the Pasuk, it's something that's happening all the time, that we're always leaving more and more and more and more of Mitzrayim behind. You know, we'll end with a story. We don't do that enough, we should do that more often. We'll end with a story. It's a beautiful story. It's a story that I once heard from the first time I met a very, very special Jew. Shem should show him chesed. The first time I met him, he shared the following story, and it stuck with me. I think this must have Shana Aleph or Shana Bet. I heard this from when he came to visit as an alumni when I was at Chug, at Rabbi's house. And the story is as follows: that there was once a town, and in this town, there was a taskmaster. And he was always running this town, and he would work them to the bone. But he was a very smart taskmaster. He gave them just enough time to do a little bit of Torah, a little bit of mitzvot, whatever they had to do. They had to work, but they could stop at sunset before Shabbos. They could make havdalah, but then they had to go right back. They could daven shachris, but it was a matzah meeting, 18 minutes, right? They could do just whatever they needed to do for their avodat Hashem, but that's it. And day in and day out, this is how it would go. And one day, there's always that one Jew, right? One day is that one Jew just couldn't take it anymore. He just couldn't take it anymore. And he runs home. And he says, I'm out. And he drops his stuff. And he leaves. He just goes. And as he's walking down the road out of town, he sees riding up on his horse is the taskmaster coming to check up on the town. And the taskmaster runs into him. And he looks at him and says, Jew, what are you doing? And so he says, I was just walking out of town. And he says, what are you just walking out of town? Why aren't you working? He says, no, today's a holiday. Today we can't work. Today's a holiday. We're not allowed to work today. He says, okay, it's a holiday. So the taskmaster keeps riding into town, and what does he find? All the Jews working. So he stops one of the Jews and says, Jew, what are you doing? Why are you working? And the Jew's like, what do you mean, why am I working? What am I supposed to do? He said, well, there was that Jew. I just saw a Jew. He was walking out of town. He said that today's a holiday. And he said, what holiday did you say it was? He told me today's, that the day, today's holiday is Yom Pleitatenu, the day of our release. The inyan of the story is so often we think that life is telling us we only have so much time to do things. That we have limits, borders, boundaries, mitzarim. We all live to a certain extent in our own mitzrayim. Whether it's that we don't have enough, we say that we don't have any more than 10 minutes to daven, or whether it's we say that we don't have any more than 30 minutes to learn, or whether we say that we don't have any more than a certain amount of koach to focus on avodas Hashem, right? Or whether we're dafka doing a chait and saying that I know I shouldn't be doing this, but I don't have the koach to stop doing this. That's that taskmaster giving us just enough, and every day we have the opportunity to say today is Yom Pleitatenu. Today is the day of my release. today is the day where I'm able to let go. And we choose that day. And when we choose that day, we can run away. And we can run towards the infinite. We have that capacity within ourselves. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us. That's the gift He gave us in Yetzias Mitzrayim. And that's the gift of Anochi Hashem Elokecha Asher Yotzicha Mitzrayim. I took you out of all those Mitzrayim. All you have to do is choose to leave it behind. And if you choose to leave it behind, you have the capacity to have only one master, to have only one life, and to spend your whole life working towards the infinite. Be'ezrat Hashem, we should be zocha to have a continuous Yetzias Mitzrayim every day of our life, to have the strength to look our taskmaster, our Yetzer Hara, in the face and say, today is Yom Pleitati, the day of my release, the day of my escape. To look at the Yetzer Hara and be able to leave it behind. And in those moments when the Yetzer Hara does overcome us and we get knocked down, to be able to get up, not even dust ourselves off, and keep running forward toward HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that our life is lived, our whole life is lived, only running toward HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Bezrat Hashem.